seated for this. This is a very powerful part of Scripture. It's actually hit me in a different way, so I pray that we can bring honor and glory to this word. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 12 through 31, picking up where Brother Mark has left off. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. For just as the body is one, as many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into the body. Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the great honor. And unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that it lacketh. That there be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracle workers, then the gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this word. We thank you for even the ability to read what Paul has encouraged us with, that we all are members of the same body, though we have different gifts. We ask that you would sanctify us in this word, because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. When I read this, it really kind of hit me that this is a very powerful text to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. This text actually speaks very powerfully about our value in the body. Maybe we don't see that when we first read it. But each and every one of us has a value. And even tells you later in the text that your value is a gift of God. God has given you this ability. So the first thing that we can understand right here and now is you and I are very important. We are important because God so had loved us, and he gives us his love in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And being empowered in this love, he also gives us abilities. And these abilities are extremely important, not just for ourselves, corporately, for the whole body. And we look at this, and sometimes we will turn around in our lives and we'll look at somebody else and we'll say, well, I don't have what he has. I don't have what she has. Maybe I don't have, you know, the voice of an angel and I can't sing like that individual. Or maybe I don't have the dedication to be organized like that individual. Or maybe I don't have the insight of wisdom of Scripture like that individual. We compare ourselves, and oftentimes we can almost devalue ourselves. This text says we can't do that. Or we'll turn around and say, well, you know, that Aho boy, he's kind of a little hulu. He's not all that. He doesn't really quite cut it compared to that other pastor. He doesn't really have that same gift. I'm picking on myself so that, you know, I don't have to pick on anybody else. But we'll do that too. Not only will we devalue ourselves, but sometimes as human beings we can devalue others. This text talks about both of those things. We can't do that. Oh, we will. But it doesn't change anything between us and God. That's what this text talks about. So that's what we're going to look at. So anyways, Paul starts out very strongly here. He says, for just as the body has many members, and you know what? All members of the same body. He says, though there are many members, he says, we are all together. He says, and this is how it is in Christ. That as believers in Jesus Christ, though we may be individuals as we see it here in this room, we are all corporately brought together for one main purpose. To bring honor and glory to God the Father. In Christ Jesus, and that's what this whole Trinity season speaks about, Christ Jesus gives us that ability. We understand Trinity very straightforward. I mean, it's an aspect of faith, there's no doubt about it. But we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we understand they are one. But we could also say the same in our marriage, that we have myself and Judith. But we are, by the words of institution, by the promises of God, by the covenant of God, by all other things that you can imagine, we become one. Now this household operates in reality as one. Well, nothing has ever changed for God. He operates in one, but yet he has three abilities to impact us. Just amazing when you think about it. Well, look at the abilities we have here in this room. We are all of one in Christ Jesus. But God has gifted us in so many different ways that we all have different abilities. Even in this one community, I can look around and see all kinds of different people interacting with this community. But we all are one in Christ. We have the ability to gift this community in so many different ways. But it doesn't take away from God. It actually enhances. Especially, if I could say, if we leave ourselves out of it and move by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, we understand this is how the body of Christ is. He says, for in one spirit, and we see this word baptized, we are baptized into the body. And this word baptismal means more or less to join together. And I've described this to you before. They use it in a term even for dyeing of like cloth. They'll take a red water or dye, and they'll take a white cloth, and they'll put it and submerge it in there, and they'll pull it out, and it becomes part of it. So really what he's saying here is by grace through today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith in reality, we become partakers of God. God has already given the gift, but now we receive this. He says, so we are joined together. Do we see it in our external life? Do we look around even in this room, and Jesse fails at this, I'm not acting like I'm superior to anybody else, I get irritated with certain people, you know, and I won't pick on anyone like Steve, but we work together a lot, and he's been patient with me. But the fact of it is, do we see that we are joined together? That we are truly brother and sister in Christ, and that we are moving forward for the same purpose, to glorify and honor God with many different gifts, many different abilities. But he says, we are now joined together, he says, into one body. And he says, it doesn't matter whose boy you are. It doesn't matter what nationality you have. It doesn't matter of any of these things. He says, you can be a Jew, you can be a Greek, you can be slave, you can be free. He says, we are all made in reality or given of the same Spirit. God has blessed us. That is such a powerful testimony. That we are equals. We talk about this in the world we live in, the culture that we live in, that we need in reality to be equals. We are all equals in Christ Jesus. He's the greatest equal opportunity employer you'll ever find in the world. Because he has received you. He has given you all the same abilities or gifts, maybe in different styles. But he has allowed each and every one of us to come together to work for one purpose, to bring honor and glory to him. Kind of interesting. So he says, you know, now we all come together, he says, and it's not just one member, it is all members coming together to build up this body. And this is where it comes in very interesting. He says, what if the foot, look at your physical body, what if your foot was to say, you know, I'm just kind of like a stump that someone walks on, but there's a lot of bones in there and a lot of ability, right? But I'm not a hand. I can't write. I can't do any of the, you know, baking or whatever else that you, the hands do. I can't do sign language. I can't do anything else. I'm just a foot. He says, I'm not part of the body. See, that's devaluing oneself. Well, I'm not really a preacher. So what gift do I have? What ability do I have to impact this world? I'm not really a preacher. You know, maybe the world has enough preachers. Maybe we need more listeners. Maybe we need more encouragers. Maybe we need more prayers. He says, what if the foot was to turn around and say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. I just don't feel part of it. And then it says very plainly, that would not make it any less. You know what this says? It's not my feelings, it's not my thoughts that defines me as a Christian. It's not my feelings, it's not my thoughts that define me as one that, you know, has an importance to God. God saw importance in each and every one of us. And he has blessed us right where we're at. And he has given us the ability of believing in his finished work. And that, in reality, speaks volumes into our life. And where we are, we have a value. We need to stop comparing ourselves to other people. We need to stop comparing, in reality, ourselves to the world around us. And we understand and know that God so loved us that he gave us his only begotten Son, that we could believe in this finished work and that we could be redeemed. That my value is not predicated upon my thoughts or the world's thoughts. My value is found in him. He says, just because this foot thinks in this fashion, it does not change his position. Oh, Pastor, you're insane. How many times have you thought that? Do we say that we are saved by our emotions? Because you know what? Some days, I'll be honest with you, man, I feel like a mighty fortress that, you know, nobody could come against. Man, Lord, I'm on fire. I have the Spirit. I feel encouraged. Then the next day, I feel like, man, I don't know if I could even talk to anybody. I feel miserable. We're not on a roller coaster. Because that's what our emotions do. Some days as a foot, we feel like we can win the race. And some days as a foot, we feel like we stepped in dog doo. Nothing's going right. But God sees us right where we're at. And he says, you are valuable. You're valuable because in reality, I have created you. And the abilities that you do have are not small. I've given them to you. Oh, gee, you sound like you're singing, you're preaching here a prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about riches. I'm talking about the fact of God has equipped his saints to enter into a world so desperately need to hear that they are loved, they are cherished, and they are worthy to be his children, not by their own gifts and abilities, but by what he gave us, what he has done for us. Just because the foot should say that I'm not a hand and I don't belong to this body, it does not mean that. It doesn't mean God listens to a thing of that. He says, what if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye? He says, I don't belong to the body. He said, that would not, he repeats this for us, that would not make it any less part of the body. You know, can you imagine that? But what would you do without your ears? I mean, I'm starting to lose mine, and I don't like to admit it. But I'm starting to hear a lot of things that people don't say. In fact, my wife kind of gets on my case because, boy, I tell you what, I hear some strange stuff sometimes. You know, she'll be telling me to take out the garbage, and for some reason or another, I'm going down in the freezer to get something. What are you doing? Well, you said to go get a roast out of the freezer. I said, take out the garbage. We have a value. We have direction. So this talks about that we can't devalue ourselves. And even when we do, it doesn't change God's opinion, which I think is really cool because Jesse would often do this. He says, what if the whole body was just an eye? I mean, we love seeing, don't we? Each and every one of us loves to have a vision. He said, but if it was just an eye, we could get run over by a truck if it was behind us. Because where is the hearing? And what he's trying to bring about here is, yes, we may not have the same gifts. We may not have the same abilities, but we all serve in a purpose. For what reason? Honestly, to protect the body. What are your reflexes for? What is your sight, your hearing, your taste, your smell? What are these things also for? They also protect. They guide, they lead, they protect. There's so much that God has gifted us. And so he says very plainly, what if the whole body was an eye? He said, where would be the sense of hearing? Well, what if it was actually an ear? Because now we think that's so important, right? So he says, where would be the sense of smell? And really what he's saying is, where would you be without these gifts? These functions? I don't know if any of us would voluntarily say, we'll give up one of these. We don't need it. Would you like to just get rid of your sense of smell? I wouldn't. So I must feel that this has a value. And so he talks very straightforward in that way. I'm not going to give up my eye because in reality, I love to be able to see. I don't want to give up my hearing. I'll keep that one good ear as long as I can. There's no doubt about it. He says, but as it is with God, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them. And listen to the words he says, as he chose. Your gift, your ability, your function within the body of Christ was given to you by God the Father. You have that value. You have a function. Do we realize it? And maybe we don't think we can utilize it. Well, there's plenty of opportunity to. This congregation has all kinds of things that we could do. But it's not just up to Pastor. I mean, Cheryl bailed on me, so it's not up to her anymore. Sorry, Cheryl. But we are going to notice in reality the functions that maybe one part of the body did. And it's going to be an opportunity for us to step forward. And maybe it's good. Maybe God's getting our attention, saying, have we taken things for granted? How about you? Have you taken your sight for granted? Have you taken your smell for granted? Have you taken your hearing for granted? Have you ever tried to give communion in a nursing home with someone very hard of hearing? It's difficult because it takes away kind of more or less the presence of that intimacy. Because you have to scream it. We take things for granted. And so really what he says here is that now he says God has given these gifts. He's given these abilities. He says if all were a single member, in reality, where would the body be? He says actually we can't function without each other. People say, well, I don't need to go to church. And I understand that. But we are gifted to have a body, to move forward as a body, and we're all members of it. If you don't need to go to church, then what are you tying into? What are you plugging into? That to me is an interesting thing. And then you could say, well, I'm one of those wanderers, and that's fine. I can respect that. I can understand you don't want to come down, tie down to a denomination and things like that. I'm not a huge denominational guy. I probably get a little too weird in that area, but the fact of it is, you know, we say, well, we just want to be plugged in that. Well, then how are you actually getting repetitive behavior where you can understand your gift and ability in a certain part of the body? See, we're all individual members in a body, right? So like a heart has all kinds of different functions, right? There's valves and everything else going on, muscle, and well, they're all part of that member. But then the whole body is actually everything put together. Well, how do you know? When you look at congregations out there, all these congregations coming together in Christ are the body, not just this church. But how do you know we're not, say for an example, just an example, we're not the heart here at Zion? But then maybe we float around so much we feel like we don't have a place where we serve. So he says, you know, God is the one to give each of these gifts. If without the whole body, he says, all the members, we couldn't actually be functioning together. And he says, and as it is, there are many parts, he said, but still, he emphasizes there's one body, which is Christ Jesus. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, and this is where it gets interesting, not where we self-devalue, but where we start to devalue other people. He says, now when you turn around and you look at it, I'm going to go in a different direction, Paul is saying. He says, now the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Honestly? Yeah, you do. You have need of that. Because that hand could be your defense. That hand could be your encouragement. That hand can help you in many different ways. Yes, you need it. And that hand needs the eye because, you know what? I'll tell you what, if the hand didn't have the eye, you might lose a few members. You know, you could use a few digits. But the fact of it is, he says, now, he says, the eye cannot say, I have no need of you. He says, we can't devalue other people. He says, nor again, the head of the feet, I have no need of you. He says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that actually seem weaker are indispensable. See, we don't often think about it. We think, well, the most valuable part we have here is our brain, which is beautiful. There's no doubt about it. God created something amazing. But the fact of it is, what good would it be if we didn't have any other members to function with it? We become a complete work when we all work together. Isn't it the same in the church? Isn't that exactly how it came about with the Trinity? That God the Father through God the Son gave of God the Holy Spirit, that we could be fully functioning, fully equipped. It doesn't stop there. It continues here, that we would have God the Father, that we would have God the Son who redeems, and God the Spirit who continues to empower, that we would be fully equipped all together. This is important. Maybe we think, well, I could have been hearing something a little different today, and it might have been a little more upbeat. But the reality of it is to know what God thinks of each and every one of us. That he so loved us. I know I've repeated it before, but I think it's interesting. Back in the day in New Hampshire, there was a Kathy Joy and my Uncle Frat and a bunch of them put out an album. And there's a song on there, if I was the only sinner on earth, would Christ have died for me? And the answer is yes. Yes, he would. That is a value that we don't understand, left to our own devices. But it is a value that we can appreciate when we read the scripture and allow it to impact our lives. Part of this great equipping is actually allowing the scripture to impact our hearts, to know who we are as the children of God, to know the value that we have and the importance that we have with one another to be able to fully function, be fully equipped to enter out into this world. Just amazing thing. You know, it's one thing that I talk about quite often with different people. I love when my wife is at my services. You know, I have a harder time preaching without Judy here. Because I know no matter what stupid comment I make, no matter how bad I blow something, someone will love me when I walk out that door. I know you guys do. But it's just one smiling face, no matter how dumb I get. God loves us. And he gives us this body that we could feel love one to another, that we could encourage one another. That's what we have. Someone's always got your back in the body. And so anyways, he says, you know, Now, there are different parts that are less honorable that we just keep more private, but it doesn't mean they don't have a value. And this, to me, speaks in a very powerful way. We don't need to go into, you know, R-rated for this part of stuff, but the fact of it is you can turn around and say, there are some people that have more of a private gift. They want to remain more in the background, and sometimes we want to take and shove them right in the front row. But it doesn't mean their gift isn't important. Doesn't mean that they don't have a value. In fact, their value might be extremely powerful because it's the unseen, the unrecognized that's so important. So it's just he's saying, don't think because there's ones that more or less want to remain in the background doesn't mean they don't have a value. They have great value. We still need this. And he says, now the whole point of it is, he says, now don't allow division to come in. Don't allow division to come into the body. He says, but that the members would have the same care one for another, no matter the position, no matter how outgoing they are, no matter what the beauty of the gift is. You know, it's like Camp Lucky to me is a great example of that. You know, we have a camp like LBF going on, and, you know, and this is going to sound like bragging, so throw it away if you want, but, you know, it's like, we have a beautiful congregation. We have 150 to 200 people that say they belong to Zion Lutheran Church. And praise God, I get to be what we call the senior pastor. There's only one position, so I could be whatever I want, I guess. But the point is that, you know, you think you stand there with a tie and, oh, I'm honored, right? Well, at LBF, I'm out there scrubbing toilets, scrubbing sinks. I'm doing all of these things. I'm cooking the food because I'm the only one that holds a food license, different things like this. And you sit there and you realize, well, what is my position? And I'm only saying this for example. When Miranda's over here scrubbing toilets at the church or helping me at camp, she's to be honored. Because all of the gifts that we have, all of the abilities we have, are bringing honor and glory to God. See, when I put on different hats, it's no less honoring to God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what your gift is, no matter what your ability is, thank you. Thank you for giving and sharing of that gift and ability. But also, thanks be to God that he has allowed these people to come together. Because when we go out to some place like Camp Lutty, and we go out there for a Sunday school picnic, and we look around and say, oh, it's so beautiful out here. It doesn't just happen. The snow doesn't just melt and everything is mowed, trimmed, and pretty. The buildings are just clean. There are people that God has gifted with the ability, I won't talk about the feet because they'll get upset at me, but to come out there and lay their hands to the plow. Whatever your gift is, God has valued it. Don't divide. Don't look at each other in categories of division. He says, never allow division to come into the body. He says, but that the members may have the same care for one another, to be thankful, to be praiseworthy, to continue to encourage. And then this goes to spiritual. God has given you faith. That is the greatest gift that you can ever imagine. Because in this faith, you have received a love that'll pour out to others. That just to me is an amazing thing. There is no greater gift than this, and that's what we'll get into next week. But anyways, he says, don't allow this division to come in, but the members have the same care for one another. And we understand if one member suffers, and we know this, we stub our toe, we're hobbling around for a week. And it's just one toe. But yet our whole body is in agony often. He says, if one member suffers, we suffer together because we're not alone. This is what I was talking about earlier. Someone has your back. We're not alone. He says, if one member is honored, we all rejoice together. Thanks be to God that he's allowed these individuals or this person to do this. He said, now, you are the body of Christ. Individually, you're members of it, but you are corporately the body of Christ. He says, and God has appointed each and every one a different gift. He has apostles, which are sent ones. He has the prophets, which are preachers, no doubt about it. He says, and we have teachers. We have those that have gifts of miracles. I don't know what the gifts of miracles all are, but maybe it's just bringing two people together to settle an issue. Well, that's a miracle. We didn't think they'd ever talk. It's not just, you know, making water divide. We have people that have a gift of bringing people together. He says, then there's gifts of healing. You know, this is very powerful. And is it healing only in the physical? Why can't it also be in the spiritual? Why can't it also be in the mental? Why can't it be in relationships? Do we utilize these things? And he says, there's gift of helping. Do you see that? God says that is a gift of helping. There's a gift of Cheryl, administrating. And someone else will be stepping in that role. Let's pray for that individual. So there's a gift of administrating. But there's all kinds of gifts of communication. And that's what it speaks of here is tongues. That you can communicate with people in different ways, in different manners, that people accept it. I could say something to you and you look at me, that guy's nuts. What's he saying? Then I could turn around and say, Judy, tell him what I mean. And then she'll sit there and tell him, and you're like, oh, that's what he means. There's gifts of tongues, yes, with languages, but also in communication. He says, are all apostles? Absolutely not. Are all prophets? Absolutely not. Are all teachers? No. See, we try to shove people in those positions sometimes. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? Nope. Do all speak in tongues? Nope. Do all interpret? Nope. He says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. What's the higher gift? He says, and I will still show you a more excellent way. So I hope you come to church next week because we're going to hear about the higher gift. But I'll give you a little hint. Read chapter 13. Because all of these things are wonderful. But if we don't have love, we don't have anything. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we all have a value. May we see it. May we embrace it. And may we share what God has shared with us, with other people, in our own way. To bring honor and glory to Him. For to me, that is a great example of the Trinity. Many different gifts brought together for one purpose. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you that you have given us a writing such as this to encourage us to look to a higher calling, to a higher gift. And we pray, Father, that we will learn of that even this coming week. Father, I'd ask that everybody would read this next chapter in this coming week, that they would encourage themselves through your word. Father, we praise and we thank you for this congregation, the congregations throughout this world to proclaim your truth. Allow us to work together as the body of Christ. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.